Hello, Nana. Hello, people out there. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back. I've missed you guys. I missed you, but I talked to you.
I know. Shout out to all the people who sent us like lovely messages. We didn't even think that there were people who would miss us or looking forward to us coming back. So it's nice. It's nice to know that you guys missed us, but we're back.
Yes. It literally blows my mind that people actually listen to us talk. And yes.
I know. But yeah, so, you know, we're back with season 4. I can't believe we are over the halfway mark of the entire 6 seasons. A few things. And just like that, which is the, do you call it a remake?
I call it the unnecessary reiteration, but yes.
The unnecessary reiteration follow-ups of Sex and the City. We didn't even get a premiere date. I don't know what HBO Max is doing, but it's sometime in December. We found out. We've thrown out a couple of polls trying to figure out what you guys want us to do, if you want it to be, you know, in consequential order, and that will be after season 6, so if you want it real time. So, you know, we're still mulling over what we're going to do, but we'll let you know. But if you have thoughts, we are always open to hear our thoughts. You will hear how you can reach us at the end of the episode. But Nana, tell the people how you're feeling about this unnecessary redo.
I just don't understand. And I'm sorry. And I was like, this is shallow. Yes, I admit it. Whatever. Save your think pieces. But every time I see like stills, I'm just like, you ladies have grown old. Don't you want to rest? Like, it's not that deep. Why are we here? It's like, we don't have to do, oh, we're, you know, out on the town every night. I just feel like it's okay for us to evolve and change as we get older. I don't understand. I feel like it's not going to have the same vibe. Unless they all, like, got married to people, which obviously is going to be different on the way back. Maybe they're going to be fabulous divorcees or whatever, or widows. But I'm just like, this just doesn't seem fun to me. I'm sorry. Just being honest.
Yeah, what about you? I'm keeping my mind open to what it is because I'm definitely going to watch regardless. But I'm with you on part of the magic was being younger in a vibrant city, dating. And it was just like it's like a magic in a bottle. That's how we remember them. That's what we're watching. When someone like me, let me use myself as an example so I don't speak for anybody else, sees this new reiteration and I see how much older they have become, it is just a stark reminder that I have aged just as many years as they have, and that just ruins my experience from the jump. Like, fuck, I'm old, you know.
So we're all old.
That's all I'm fixated on, is the reminder, wow, we're getting older. And then it's just not the same. Like, the things that were cute when they were in their 30s, which we're already saying they were too old for, what exactly are they going to do now? So again, I'll give them grace and see what direction they're going with. But I think people should temper their expectations. Like, it's not going to be what it was then. I think they did good by completely changing the name and not calling it Sex and the City. So that gives them leeway to take the story in a different direction, I guess.
Yes. My whole thing is, like, they annoy me so much with some of their actions in their mid-30s. I'm going to be even more intolerant. And I don't think there's even more room for me to get intolerant if they're still acting like this in their, what, late 40s, 50s? No one's in their late 40s. They're all going to be in their 50s, right? Yeah. I'm just like, who asked for this? Remakes have just become so lazy. So lazy in every aspect of our culture. I remember you tweeted a few weeks ago about how every song on the radio is a redo, a poor redo of like 90s and 2006. And I kind of chuckled to myself when I read it. But I've been listening to the radio more because I want to cry when I think about it. But I'm back in the office full time. And literally in one 20-minute stretch, every single song had a sample from like a beloved R&B classic. I'm just like, wow, she wasn't lying. And this is so lazy. Because none of them are better than the original. Not a single one.
Yeah.
And I just feel like this is what it's going to be.
And the other thing that it does is I have serious FOMO, but I just started Squid Game, which mm-hmm. everyone and their mother has been talking about. And it's kind of just been low on my list because when I have to watch subtitle things, I can't multitask.
Yes.
So it has been. So I just had to force myself to start it because there's only so much I can go without getting a spoiler. And so mm-hmm. far, I've been spoiler free. But I
you remain spoiler free? Oh, wow. Lucky you.
Yeah,
I've been spoiled. I've been spoiled, but I'm still enjoying the watch. I'm almost done, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I haven't. And I remember texting a friend saying, oh, I just started Squid Game. And it's refreshing or kind of nice to see something that is original. So yes. What has happened now is we have so many remakes, redos, reiterations, people older, that now when we get something that's original, I don't even know if it's the fact that, I don't even know if it's actually good or if mm-hmm. I'm just grateful, like, oh my God, there is something that is from the drawing board, you yes. know? So, yeah. Well,
it's lazy. That's it.
We've gone on and on, but one last thing before we get into this episode, we wanted to say a rest in peace moment of silence for Willie Garson,
yes.
who played Stanford, was Carrie's best friend and quote unquote gay husband. I still don't know if that's is that a politically correct term?
Everything's politically incorrect. Let's just go with it. Just so you guys can cancel us at your leisure, it's fine.
But yeah, it was kind of sad. He's had a long battle with pancreatic cancer, which, as we all know, is unfortunately like a death knell. You get it, and it's just, it's tough. And you know, thoughts and prayers for his son that he left behind. He had an adopted son, and we'll always remember him at Stanford. I'm curious to see if he finished his scenes with and just like that, because we've seen picture stills of him where he was filming. So I don't know how that's going to affect the story or not. But rest in peace, Willie Garson.
Yes, definitely rest in peace. It's just sad because he seems like a very well-liked person as well. I feel like you can tell how people were by how people react, obviously, in their passing. And he seemed very, very, very well-loved by his friends, co-workers, all of that. So, yes, rest in peace indeed. Love and thought to his family and his friends.
All right, guys. So, Sex and the City, Season 4, Episode 1, titled The Agony and the Ecstasy. Don't know why this was the title, but...
Yeah, it didn't go with anything. Nothing at all. It could have been called Ketchup and Chips. Like, what? Irrelevant. Mm-hmm.
I was totally expecting, like, someone to take ecstasy at some point in the episode. Nope. Yeah. That didn't happen. Basically, the summary of this episode is it's a recycled storyline, and it is the women just, you know, not being okay with being single in a world where everyone seems to be married. But to expand on that, Samantha had one of the worst storylines that she's ever had, at least for me. Charlotte is in limbo, not sure what is going on with Trey. Miranda is very bothered and, you know, being has an insecurity about being single. And Carrie is straight out the bat being Carrie. That's the best thing I can say. Making bad decisions. Yes.
Making bad decisions in this episode?
This is the episode where it's her birthday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she called big. That's a bad decision to me.
Oh, please. Okay, all right. I thought it was something, I'm like, that's a regular bad decision for Carrie. The way you said it, I'm like, oh, I thought you were talking about something new. I'm like, did I watch something else? What's going on? Because this episode actually was the episode I felt most, like, I wasn't angry at her. I was on her side for once. So, yeah.
No, I thought the last time we saw she had exercised herself. I mean, I know better, but... still. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's dive in. So the season starts with a round robin of all the women getting ready for something. Carrie tells us that if you're single, there is one thing you should always take out with you on a Saturday night, your friends. Hey yo. So we find out that they were meeting up with each other and headed to an engagement party. As they're heading over there, they're making fun of the invites because it was like, what was it? Two souls, one, I don't know, some one mind or something silly like that. But it was good to see that despite all that had happened between Charlotte and Trey, Charlotte is still a romantic because mm-hmm. she's like, it's cute. And I am very much surprised that I am happy that she isn't jaded.
You know, like, anyway. I just feel like jadedness does not suit Charlotte. She's just not that kind of character. I'll be like, girl, no.
I don't know something about it. I was like, kind of glad that she maintained her innocence and it didn't that about her. So good for her.
Good old Pollyanna. But yeah.
We find out that the groom's name is Danny, and Samantha says she remembers when he had one thought, and that one thought all involved going up her ass. Charlotte asks, oh, you had sex with him? And Samantha is like, of course, he's cute, straight, and I've known him for 10 years. And then she adds, haven't we all had sex with Danny? And then Carrie's like, oh yeah, that one weekend I was bored. Charlotte is like, oh, just a New Year's Eve kiss. And Miranda's like, oh, I showed him a boob in a coat check room.
How can he be passed around the group chat like this? Like, come on. Is he not ashamed of himself?
He's loving the crew.
I know, for real. Like, what is this?
So I have a question for you. With Carrie saying the one weekend I was bored and Samantha saying, oh, haven't we all had sex with Danny? What are your thoughts on being an Eskimo sister with someone in your friend group?
No, thanks. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's happened, but it wasn't on purpose. So that's all I'll say about that. Like, we didn't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just once, that was the only, and that was enough for me, thank you. But no, I would, that's not anything I would ever be like, mm-mm. Even if it's like, obviously he's not anyone's boyfriend, you know what I mean? He's for the streets, but I just think it's weird. There's too many men in this world, we don't need to like, share men, sorry.
I feel like it's something that I'm like, I'm with you, where I'm like, yeah, we don't need to do that or whatever. I try to rack my brain. I don't think I've been in that situation. Maybe
that you know of.
Yes, that I know of, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, like, if I found myself in that situation, like, it's one of those things where it seems bigger hypothetically than if it was realistically. Because for it to be realistically, it would have to be, I don't know.
Like some kind of circumstance. Because he's literally for the streets, he's nobody's man. I feel like it's not as deep, if it makes sense. It's different if it's somebody's ex.
Yeah.
And it all gets a bit weird. But yeah.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. Now, if this is somebody that turns out to be somebody's actual significant other and you show up to places all the time, I think yes, that would be awkward because you have to see each other all the time. But if it's like, oh, we're in different states, so we see each other every now and then, like, it might not be as big of a deal. So,
yeah.
Okay, so Miranda and Charlotte walk in, and they meet Danny. They're saying, they have this weird shtick where they're saying, congratulations, simultaneously. That's exactly how they said it to each other. And then they show all 32 of their teeth. And he introduces his fiance, Haley, to them as Carrie and Charlotte. One. I see that this bullshit continues in season 4 because, of course, Carrie is not the name that they forget. It is Miranda. Miranda is always the person who gets poop on her face. This is so unfair. I'm going to, what was it, like Free Britney? I'm going to be like Free Miranda. Y'all need to stop.
Okay, this is me overthinking. I'm well aware of this. And I don't think people think like that now, but do you think it's got something to do with her being a redhead in addition to like a career woman? You know how like people always want to treat redheads as like their evil stepchildren? And I know those attitudes are way less now, but I do remember when it was a thing. In the UK especially, like, oh my gosh, for white girls growing up in my school, it was like the knell of death to be thought of as ginger. People are like, I'm not ginger, I'm a strawberry blonde. You know, things like that.
I
think that also, because she's not a natural redhead, is she?
No, that's what I was gonna say, is I don't think you're completely wrong about it, but I also think it's the personal. I have issues with the writer, because again, like, if you guys recall in season 1 where I mentioned that she's not a natural redhead, she's a natural blonde, but she was asked to dye her hair red because they wanted a redhead. But then the casting call for her role also was described as someone not attractive. So I think they just characterized redhead with not attractive. They haven't watched Mad Men, but okay.
I love her. They have great hair. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
So Anyways, they correct him and say, no, this is Miranda, not Charlotte. And then, you know, Miranda looks hurt as they're walking away and was like, oh, he does say that he's overwhelmed with all the weddings. That's bullshit. But anyways, Miranda looks hurt and was like, I can't believe he didn't even remember my name. And then Carrie makes a joke like, you should have shown him both boobs instead of one. You know, I usually find Carrie's quips annoying, but that was funny.
Yeah.
So we see Samantha talking to a man named Phil, who seems like an ass. He's a TV agent, and she's like, well, she does ask him, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a TV agent. And I quote, I fucking love it. I don't know why they introduced us to this man, because that was it. There was nothing else. There was not a storyline. And that was the end of that. So,
maybe he was someone's cousin. And he to be saying, like, oh, I got a part in Sex and the City. That's the only explanation I have. Because, like you said, pointless. But yes.
We move on over to Charlotte. She's by herself and someone's there compliments her ring. And I was like, oh, where's your husband? Is he here? And Charlotte just has this verbal diarrhea. Seth's telling her how they're separated, but not legally. They married fast, but now they're taking time to figure things out. They love each other so very much, but then they had problems in the bedroom. And this lady is just looking like, what the hell did I tell this woman her ring would look nice? She just walked them by to the bar. So the lady.
So before you move on. That interaction, white women, I love you, but it reminds me of so many white women I've met. But you're like, oh, hi. And then they'll tell you about how their husband left her for their nanny. And I was just like, how did we get here? Why are you telling me all of this?
Well, the problem is a lot of them are, well, this is, I guess it's just a stereotype. But I always have this thing, like a lot of them are repressed. Like, you just keep a lot of things inside, which is the only reason why that 50 Shades of Grey was anything in this country. Yeah. I remember seeing the first 50 Shades of Grey in the theater and very shocked at people's reaction to it. Because I was like, everyone looks grown. Like, what is this reaction? Like, is this a lot of pent-up repression for years? Why is this quite titillating?
But I also feel, anyway, I do feel like black girls also have their own repression, especially African black girls. But yeah. What'd you say, sorry?
No, I said, I forget the term. I was trying to say, did you just not all?
Other yeah, no, right? Not all.
No, we're talking about white women right now. So. Oh, no.
You're like, leave us out of it.
Yes.
We're not talking about us right now. But yeah, that's another story for another day. Yeah, so, equal opportunity stereotypes for everyone. But yeah.
So the lady finds an excuse to bounce. And as another lady is approaching, she gives her a heads up and is like, don't talk to her. Just save yourself and keep walking. So Carrie tells us that Charlotte in that moment realized that she and Trey were two souls with too many thoughts. Carrie and Miranda are together again, listening to Haley, if you recall, the fiance, talking about their how they met story. Once again, they do their congratulations. And then Haley asks them if, you know, they're seeing anyone special. Carrie quickly just says, no, I'm not. Miranda does this whole routine and is like, she's seeing a whole bunch of unspecial guys. And in fact, that's a requirement to date her. And she asks if any of them have any unremarkable friends to date her. And Carrie just makes it look like, what is going on? And who are you?
Yeah.
So as they leave, Carrie asks her like, hey, what was up with that, you know, whole scene right there? And Miranda was like, I mean, they were surrounded by married and engaged people, and she didn't need that whole pity party. That didn't Carrie notice that they were the only single people at the party? And Carrie's like, we're the only single people anywhere. And Miranda asked, like, didn't you notice the looks? And Carrie's like, nope, did not notice the look. And she lights her cigarettes. It's like, you're not going to drag me down. And Ray Charles to all of it.
Yep.
So Miranda says, well, society views single people our age as sad and pathetic. So she just goes on the offensive because she doesn't need that judgment. So Carrie's like, you know, sometimes I think that people in couples look at us and wish they had our lives. And Miranda's like, no, that's what you say to feel better. We make them uncomfortable and they don't know what to say. Thoughts?
I think there's some truth to that. Sorry, but I do. I do, because I've experienced it. I think there is some truth to it. I know. Sorry.
Well, I think both of them are right. I do mm-hmm. think that, and you know, I hate that we're talking about it again, because I feel like this is like our third time talking about it. The whole singles versus marrieds was like the first time where they talked about, you know, people being uncomfortable. And also when they went to the baby shower, mm-hmm. we talked around and talked around this topic. And so, yeah, Carrie's right. Some people just, oh, I wish I had my freedom. If anyone during our break has watched Sex Life, that was the whole premise of the whole show, is her trying to relive her youth when, again, people, as we get older, as we enter new phases in life, things change. Trying to recreate what you had is kind of like trying to recreate being in college again. It's not going to happen. You just make the best of the new phase that you're dealt with.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then Miranda also saying, oh, we make them uncomfortable and don't know what to say. I think that's also true. There's some people who just hold marriage as the ultimate prize. That's their choice, and that's fine, you know, what they want. And I feel like I mentioned this before. When I was in my early 30s, I wasn't married or anything. I remember, again, my friend telling me, listen, if I was in your position, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what she would have done. Like, what do? You can't marry yourself. But that was her truth. It's just, I want to be married. I want to be that. I don't want to be single. So, you know, different strokes for different people.
I fully feel like some people look at me like that now. So, yeah, I see. Like, it's almost like pity. But I also don't care, because there's never people I'm like, I don't want your relationship, no offense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some people who carry marriage on top of their heads. And you do get the feeling that it's like they're pitying you.
I think I just don't understand why people, for lack of a better word, take Panadol for somebody else's headache. Because mm-hmm. I have a friend who everyone gets on, like, oh, you need to date, oh, you need to get married, oh, you need to whatever. And you have a conversation with my friend. As long as my friend says she's fine. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of times when single girls say they're fine, the first thing is you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfair. And mm-hmm. I always tell her, and I'm like, if you were one of my friends who have admittedly told me, oh, I'm lonely, I want to be with someone or whatever, we would have a different conversation. But if mm-hmm. someone tells me I am fine, you have to respect the person. They are fine. So let them date at their own pace. I don't understand people who take it personally and are like, no, we have to hook you up. Or we have to, like, how, what is it
that it's you're because paying? People derive a sense of superiority from being married. And that's their way of reinforcing that superiority. Just in my opinion, people who are oppressed.
That's crazy. I just don't understand forcing a lifestyle on someone when you're not going to be there when anything's going down.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, we hear a loud knock at the door, and we see that it is Charlotte that is at Trey's door. He opens the door and Charlotte just starts freaking out. What are we doing? I can't go to any more parties until I know what we're going to do. That was my 12-year-old Charlotte again. I swear I never know I'm going to do it.
Until it comes.
It just comes out.
Charlotte.
So she tells him that, you know, she has been up for hours trying to figure it out, and she has a stack of notes about their marriage. And he's like, notes. And then he starts, you know, kissing her and telling her how beautiful she looks tonight. They start making out and he gets a boner. And then she freaks out some more and is like, I can't discuss my notes if you have a boner. And as they're continue making out and all that, or trying to, he just comes on her.
Yeah.
He, honestly, is the best thing to say.
All I can say, yep.
He says he doesn't know what to say, and can he go get her a hanky? I promise you that I don't think I can be married to someone who says hanky. Let me put it that way. So Charlotte is like, it's too late and this isn't working. As she walks out, she tells him to stop calling her and she will call him when she figures out what she wants. And our beloved Trey says, send the dry cleaning bill to me. And that was funny.
He's polite, like she says.
This is true.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like that's a good shout. It's one of those two, whatever they're going through is so unusual and so strange that it has to be one of those, you should be by yourself to figure out what you want situation. Yeah. because are you gonna guys gonna figure it out or not? But you can't be halfway in and like seeing him here and then. I just feel like that's unnecessary confusion. So yeah.
Yeah. So good call to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So Carrie walks into her apartment, opens her mail, and there's some dating service kind of ad type situation. And the title was Dare Single. The next thing you see are all the girls together, and she tells the girls and about it. And Samantha says, wow, that is the postal equivalent of a drive-by shooting. Look, Samantha was ahead of her time. Shots fired before that was a thing.
Yep.
So Miranda is getting all aggy. I'm not sure what it is about it, especially the line, don't let your soulmate slip away. She's like, soulmates only exist in the Hallmark line. Charlotte is like, I disagree. There's a perfect person out there to complete you. I see you rolling your eyes, Nana.
No comment. No comment.
So Miranda's like, and if you don't find him, what, you're incomplete? That is so dangerous. I have to tell you that her volume is getting higher and higher with each comment that she's making. Carrie says the idea that there's just one person out there, she might as well shoot herself. And she would like to think that people have more than one soulmate. I mean, I would stop for us to talk about this, but again, I feel like we've talked about this, you know, a couple of times. Like, yeah. I think we both don't believe that there's one soulmate, if at all, and the soulmate doesn't have to be a romantic partner. So,
yeah. Definitely not. And I do actually, like, I do think someone can be your soulmate, but yes, like I said, we definitely are not limited to one. That logistically just makes no sense, even if you think about it for 2 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have to always adding the part of what if people who found them and the person died, because people always think about it like a breakup, but what if? So Samantha says, I agree, I've had hundreds. Miranda says, but you're still looking outside of yourself and it's saying you are not enough. Charlotte is like, are you enough? And then Carrie quips, actually today she is too much. Facts. Yeah.
Like, I told you I was team Carrie this episode. Honestly. I'm as shocked as you are. Like, I almost felt affection for her, but yeah.
Yeah. Today her quips were on point, so she could quip all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So Samantha says the bad thing about the one soulmate is that it's unattainable and you are being set up to fail. Charlotte says she doesn't care. She believes in soulmates and she thought Trey was hers, but she doesn't think a soulmate would. I mean, you know, Charlotte is not going to say the word. She was like, on your leg, basically jizz on your leg. Yeah. But there has got to be someone out there. So maybe she should keep looking. So Carrie hands her the ad and she's like, no. Miranda grabs it and is like, that's it. We're filling it out for Carrie. And everyone's like, yay. I thought that was cute, the way everybody was so excited about it. So then we find out they're trying to fill out the boxes of her age. And then we find out that Carrie is turning 35 next week. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that age thing, let me tell you, Nana, it's very depressing. The more I feel in my age right now, my year is going further and further back. I'm scrolling.
You know the bigger shock when you have to fill in, is it the 35 to 44 box? Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, is this where we are now?
Yeah,
it is.
Man, I remember when my year used to be just right there. Now it's like scroll, scroll, scroll. Okay, God.
So we go back to the 80s, scroll.
Carrie's writing about soulmates and wonders if you loved someone and it didn't work out, does that mean they weren't your soulmate? I'm like, yes.
Do you know, it's so funny, because when I was watching that scene, I thought yes, and I was like, no, actually, let me think about it. So I'm saying like two people, whatever, soulmates. I just feel like sometimes life happens and some people just can't be together. I don't think it makes them any less your soulmate. It's not usual, but I do think there's a bit of a caveat there.
Yes. So to respond to what you just said, I think your soulmate doesn't always have to be romantic.
Yeah.
But if you have ventured in the romantic arena and it didn't work out and you couldn't make it work, I don't think that person is your soulmate.
Hmm.
I don't think that person is now. And this is the only caveat, is if it doesn't work out and you guys are actually like friends, close friends or whatever, which to me is the anomaly, not the norm.
Yeah.
If you break up and you guys become besties and like, you know, your other significant others get along and it's like you're like family or whatever, I think, yes, they can be a soulmate, but that is not majority of the case.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much, because let me tell you that nostalgia can give you rose-colored glasses. You will talk about your ex like, no, we had good times and blah, blah, blah. And then you get out together and you remember, oh, okay, this is what it was.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you couldn't make it work romantically, I don't think they were your soulmate. And to segue or to add to that is, there's this thing where people say timing and all that stuff. I don't know if I'm fully fleshed on my thought, but where I stand right now, I don't know that timing plays a part. I know that timing plays a part, but in terms of like, if you're meant to be with someone, I don't know that it's much of a thing. Like, people talk about circumstances. I've seen people make it work or get married or go through like the toughest of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when people break up during like a really tough thing and all that kind of stuff, and they're like, well, I couldn't just do it at this time, I don't know that it's the circumstance that made that happen. It's more like you weren't meant to be. Because I always say this, I have someone that broke up with me during a really tough time in their lives and they weren't equipped and all the whatever that. And then I ask the question, I'm like, if we were married and you were going through this tough time, do you divorce me so you can go through this tough time alone? Because the crux of the matter and all I'm hearing is you did not want to go through this with me.
Mm. You know? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with it. No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not like 100%, but I do think human beings are human beings. And even initially when I said circumstances, in my head I was thinking extremes because that's what I do. But I just feel like some people have other issues. Like, I know, say they're in a war, or if it's a religious situation, like their religion is super important to them, but they fall in love with someone not of the same religion, and marrying them is going to be too much, like wahala, like too much stress, all of that. I don't know. I feel like it's nice to think that love conquers all, but I really don't think it does. It doesn't.
I don't think love conquers all either. I always think, though, that whatever feeling or affection you have, is it affectation or affection, that you have for that person, the one thing that I realized is when you meet someone that you really like, if you're still able to use your head, you're not all in them. That's just always been my theory. Because I always see people, because you feel like you can control it, you can do it. Because I've also had some friends where, one scenario, they were with someone, they were like, nah, I cannot be with someone who has a kid. I can't remember. And then they meet someone who's their person, and they have a kid. And they look at each other and it's like, why was that even a big deal? That is not an issue. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
So when you meet someone, like even with the whole religion thing, you find someone like, no, you're Christian. I always find that we human beings, give us the right scenario, we will come up with the best excuse for something we don't want. Whether your subconscious knows, whether your conscious knows, I don't know, you can. But the minute you meet someone that you don't even know, you know, whatever, somehow a solution is going to magically appear, and it suddenly isn't a big deal, even when you thought that it was. She's talking about soulmates, and if it doesn't work out, does that mean they weren't your soulmate, or were they just a runner-up contestant in this game show called Happily Ever After? As you move from age box and contestants get fewer and fewer, are your chances getting slimmer and slimmer? Soulmates, reality or torture device?
Torture device.
Yep, I agree. Agreed. It's like a shackle. It's either you're like Charlotte, where you're just fixated on soulmates, or you don't believe in it and you're just like, eh, we just find who works. So either way, it's just torturing you different varieties. Okay, so Sarah, Samantha and Carrie are walking on the street, and she asks Carrie if she'd like a birthday dinner. And Carrie's like, she isn't sure if she wants to do anything. She's kind of into laying low. Samantha's like, laying low or feeling low? Which is very rare of Samantha to be astute.
I care about other people's feelings. It's like
So Samantha is like laying low or feeling low, and she assures Samantha like, oh no, I'm fine. And Samantha is like, you got to do better than that. Take 35 by the balls and say, I am turning 35. And she tells her like she'll put the dinner together. All she has to do is show up and it'll just be close friends. I'm like, who are their close friends besides them? I mean, I guess Stanford, I guess, but who else?
Random friends that they're apparently good friends with getting married or whatever. They're all just plot devices, but yeah.
So Carrie agrees and she's like, okay, sure, I'll agree and I'll do it. So randomly Samantha asks if she should invite Big, and I'm like, oh my god, no, why would you ask this? Carrie asks, are you slowly trying to kill me on our way to lunch? Samantha is like, I mean, technically you're friends now. Carrie's like, you know, a phone call here and there, but man, paranoid Carrie shows up and is like, why? Do you think I should invite him? Samantha's like, oh honey, how would I know? When I'm done with them, I'm done with them.
She cracks me up.
And I'm just like, see, this is why Samantha can ask this question, because it's very casual to Samantha. Like, she thinks it's a casual question, but you've literally just turned Carrie's world upside down. She is going to obsess about this. But Carrie says, maybe not. Let's keep it to low maintenance friends. But we all know Carrie better than that, don't we?
Yep.
So then they stop in front of a church. And this starts the beginning of a storyline that I hated from the very depths of my soul down to the nail on my toes.
It was just so dumb. I'm sorry. So just dumb. Stupid.
It's so ridiculous. So Samantha is lusting over a priest in a robe. Carrie reminds her like, hey, he's a priest, but she ignores her and even calls him Friar Fuck. Listen, I don't consider myself a prude and I am Catholic, but this just made me uncomfortable. I just didn't see the point. So I don't know. It just made me uncomfortable. So she didn't let that go. I thought she was just lusting over him and then moving on with her life. But on Sunday, she makes the extra effort to find that. And we find that Samantha went back to church and asked to help. And he's like, oh, yeah, we need help in the kitchen. And Samantha's like, I'm in PR. You have to imagine that she's saying this in all Samantha, in all of her flirtatious glory and all of that sexy, not the way I'm reading it out to you guys. So Samantha says she's in PR and was thinking she could put a benefit together, something classy, something respectful, and she can guarantee Donald Trump and Marlo Thomas. He thanks her and tells her that, nope, they're low-key and more about collecting food, canned goods. She switches and says she loves his robe. And then he tells her his robe is based on St. Francis, who lived his life based on poverty and chastity. Again, recycled. Haven't we had a storyline with Samantha and chastity?
Yes, but this wasn't a priest. So.
Yeah, I know. I just mean, like, you know, the chastity is what gets her going. Yeah. Like, she wants to, in terms of similarity, in terms of making her want it even more. And I'm just like, ah. So they have this odd look between them, and he gives her a card and she gives him hers also and asks him suggestively that if he changes his mind about anything, he should give her a call. I didn't understand the storyline, because I hate when they make Samantha seem ridiculous, because yep. Samantha can get any dick she wants in New York.
Thank you.
Any.
That's what was pissing me off. Because I'm just like, why is she going so hard for this priest? Yeah. It didn't make sense to me. Yes, she saw him and fall in like an instant lust with him. But I'm sorry, Samantha falls in instant... She could fall in an instant lust with a pencil. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not... This, I don't understand why this was a thing. He's a priest. He's not going to fuck you. Let's just move on. And you would think, like, with episode one of a new season, they would have something meatier. Usually these useless storylines we get, like, around episode 6 or 7, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're starting off like this?
this is what you choose?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Samantha goes home and just presumably masturbates to the priest. Like, she's singing an opera. I don't... we know what Samantha's role is in this show, but when they go overboard and make her a caricature, it's not cute.
Especially because she's not a stupid woman. She's a very intelligent woman. And it drives me crazy when they do that to her. I'm just like, come on, this is insulting. Which is why sometimes, I don't know, I always forget his name. Why have I forgotten his name? The creator, the showrunner. Sometimes I'm just like, low-key hate women. But anyway.
Michael Patrick King at this point.
Yes.
Switched over. But yeah, he does. I mean, yeah. So, they are at dinner, and Charlotte tells Samantha that, oh my God, you're glowing. Did you get a facial? And she's like, I masturbated all afternoon. Miranda's like, what? She's like, well, for 2.5 hours. Miranda's like, who has that kind of time? Like, seriously, 2.5 hours, girl? So
she time, I'm just really thinking, how is that pleasurable? But anyway, to each their own.
She tells them that she masturbated to her priest, Friar Fuck. Charlotte is like stuck on Samantha, like having a priest, like you have a priest, and just going on and on. And then Samantha tells them that in her fantasy, he tears the food from her arms, rips open her dress, lays her down in the street. New York streets are filthy, so whatever, and enters her. Charlotte tells her to stop, and it's about a priest. And Samantha asks them who they fantasize about. And Miranda and Carrie simultaneously say Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe.
Hey, I had a big crush on Russell Crowe at that time, so I get it. Russell Crowe. Like, from Gladiator,
I get it.
That was then. You're looking at Russell Crowe with today's eyes.
Not at all. I have to assume that it was Gladiator time, and he just never did it for me. So I was just really surprised. I just was not.
No, he's not good looking, but I do think he was attractive. Sorry, Russell.
Okay. Miranda asks what women did before Russell Crowe, and again, simultaneously, they say George Clooney. And yeah.
Good on George, because George is still attractive. Hey.
Yes, George Clooney is he's an old faithful.
Yes.
Like, he stands the test of time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just speaking about fantasizing, I've just never been one of those people who fantasizes during. I know everyone always talks about it and all that, because I'm just not one of those people. It's just blank slate for me. I don't know. I don't know if that's strange or if there are other people, but I'm just not a fantasizer of somebody else.
I don't think that's strange at all, but I find it interesting.
So Samantha tells Charlotte, like, please get that judgmental puss off and join in. You have to have someone that you fantasize about. And Charlotte says that lately it's been one guy and it's Trey, and they have perfect sex. And she asks them, what does it mean? They all give some weird look, and then the scene ends. I don't know what that means, because clearly they've had a conversation that we're also not privy to. So I don't know.
Maybe they're just sick of hearing about it. Could be that.
Let me tell you this. If everybody has to sit and listen about Big, everybody else gets a pass. Else gets a pass.
She has no right to talk, so yeah.
So we see Carrie on her bed staring at the clock, and it turns midnight, and as it's midnight, she calls and we hear Big's voicemail. She starts rambling about how he's probably still in London, and it's her birthday, and she's old and had the urge to call someone older. And then she invites him to dinner, and I was so irritated. Like, what is the point? Like, I don't know. I just wish she didn't.
She's doing that thing where she thinks she can be friends with him. Even though we all know she can't, but I recognize it. So I said I really wasn't that mad at her this episode. I just recognize all the signs.
Yeah. You're used to it. It's my bad, honestly. I should know better.
Yeah.
So
I don't know why you'd expect better from her. Like, come on.
My fault, all of me. So Miranda runs into an old friend, Sheila, on the street, and she's telling Miranda how she and Joe, who I'm assuming is her husband, just got back from New Orleans. And the first question is, how are you? Are you seeing anyone special? Miranda just stops and is like, no, I'm not. And then the friend says the whole, oh, don't worry, there's someone out there for you. And Miranda says, you know, I don't know if I believe that. It may not happen. And she moves on and turns the conversation around and was like, oh, how long has it been for you and Joe now? It's been 5 years, right? And Sheila goes on about how, oh, yeah, it's been 5 years. And you'd expect, I'm sure you're wondering about kids, why we don't have kids. And she's going on and on. And Miranda realizes that everyone has a sore spot that needs a little comedy routine. And so Miranda just laughed with her because the friend is going on about how, oh, it's either we live our life now or we have kids and they ruin stuff and blah, blah, blah. And Miranda laughed to be kind. And it's true.
Yeah.
When are you gonna date? When are you get a boyfriend? When are you going to get engaged? When are you going to get married? When are you going to have a kid? When are you going to... Yeah. So it never ends. So just do
tired
you.
Of people like, oh, you'll find someone. Get the fuck out of my face, first of all. We're talking about how nice these pancakes at the restaurant I just left. Like, how did we get here? So, yeah. I feel her.
So Samantha's back at the church and the priest is praying. And she joins him and tells him she was thinking about him and the work that he does. And she brings out 3 canned peas.
Girl. You're doing good, because I would have been like, yeah, this storyline's dumb. This happened. Let's move on. You are doing the Lord's work, because I was also just as baffled as you were. Like, what are we doing here?
So strange. Like, you should be seasoned at this point. Like, settle in with your characters. But anyways. Yeah. And then she tells him that she has a confession, that she thinks about him other places than the market. And does he think about her? And then he tells her that he's not about his body and his life is about other joys. And he says the sign of the cross and he walks away. And now I can't tell you the relief I felt that he didn't succumb to her advances.
Me too. Because I was just like, please don't do this again. Like, this is someone who's dedicated his life to God. Like, don't. Sometimes, okay, sorry, this is like my own personal whatever's coming out. But it gets tiring to me. It's like the constant mockery of religion. And it's fine for people to not be religious or whatever. It's a personal choice. But I also don't like it when people go out of their way to constantly minimize the importance. This man's a priest. Do you know what I mean? He's dedicated his life. And it's obvious that obviously he found her attractive.
Yeah.
But that was his way of letting her know in no uncertain terms that this ain't going to happen, love. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and I like that.
You're right. To your point, like, it may not be something you believe in, but respect it. Like, going and doing all this because you're not being respectful.
Yes.
So, Samantha wondered if he was her soulmate since he was unattained. Fuck this. So, anyways, Carrie...
I'm like covering my mouth. Oh, my God.
I sound dumb just reading that. So, anyways, Carrie arrives at her birthday dinner looking fantastic. She had like I want to say red.
Yes, I am with you. This is one of my favorite outfits that she's ever worn.
Yeah, red crop top and like a red skirt. It was like a big,
like midi. And she had on one of those padded headbands that came back in fashion a couple of years ago. I'm like, look at Carrie, so ahead of the times.
Can I just say, I have a note that said, even if I could have done without the
Alice headband. Fashion is a circle, baby. They all came right back in fashion.
So she's the first person at the table, and she's sitting on there. Apparently, they have 6 other close friends because it was a table set for 10. So, okay, well, plus Stanford, that means they have 5 other friends that we don't know who they are. So 20 minutes later, still, no one had joined. So the waiters come out with a cake singing happy birthday, and Carrie's prepping herself. Not sure why she thought it was for her because nobody was there yet. But it's for someone who's behind her, and the person is like even going like, oh my God, I'm 25. Fuck, I'm old. So yeah.
Honestly, this scene, I felt it so hard. I'm 100% on her side because I was just like, first of all, you being the first person to your birthday celebration already feels a bit like, oh, okay, I hope people are going to come. A celebration she didn't want to have, by the way. Carrie was minding her own business. And you people forced her to get dolled up and come out because we must celebrate. And none of you first of all, okay, fair enough, you're not even on time. And then you're more than 20 minutes late and you'd literally have her sitting there by herself on her actual birthday as a sad loner. Nah, I would have been fuming. She wasn't even as angry as I think she should have been. Like, nah, 100% on her side for that.
So time goes by and still no one is here. And the hostess tells her that, you know, the lady with the birthday cake is here and has to be paid. And it just felt really sad because I just actually thought it was a surprise because I'm like, how on earth, to your point of the, you know, Samantha convincing her to have a birthday dinner, how is no one able to make it? It was just sad. Yep.
And
so,
then she had to pay for her, like, just indignity after indignity to pay for her own cake on top of it. She could have been in her house chilling. So anyway.
So after paying $70 for her birthday cake, she's walking home, as she tells us, to go kill herself when she walks into some construction. And these men are just, they got the worst extra characters. They were doing too much, doing the most, just yelling at her to get off the sidewalk, move the other way, go all the way. I don't know if I watched this wrong, but she ignored them and tries to leap over the tar. Yeah. I'm not really sure what she was doing, but her cake drops, and for some reason she tries to pick up the cake. It was a mess. It was
left it and gone home to cry. So
it was just a metaphor for her birth. It was just a hot mess of a day, and it was not good. By the time she got home, Carrie tells us that she had fallen into an emotional hole so deep. And she comes home to like 14 messages of everyone with their different excuses. And Miranda does yell at her to get a cell phone, which, Carrie, you spend enough money on shoes, get a cell phone. You're a writer. Don't the people have to reach you? It just makes me think how it was such a different time. Imagine not being able to reach someone.
Yeah, you just had to be on time. When you left your house, you had to pray people were where they were supposed to be. I'm laughing because I was having this conversation with my brother not that long ago. And I remember so clearly calling your friend up on the house phone, hoping that they're even in the house. Like, hey, we're going to hang out at the mall at this time. And if they were late, it's like, do I wait an hour to hope they show up? Did I say this McDonald's or was it the other one that we're meeting in front of? Yeah. You know what I mean? So many things and we just got on with it. Life was very strange.
So she's in the shower, just trying to take a shower so she can go to bed. And then Charlotte just lets herself in and scares her. I was just hoping she didn't bang her head in the bathroom. You don't go into someone's house and go straight to the bathroom. That is one of my fears. When I'm in the shower, that's when I hear all the things that don't exist. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
don't let yourself into my house, first of all. But anyway, but I know they're like that. They're like that, but yeah.
Carrie never picks up her phone. So I'm pretty sure it was in. She was even. The message was still playing when she went in.
You not had her sitting there for like an hour by herself. Nah, I do not blame her. I wouldn't want to pick up anyone's call either. We can talk tomorrow when I've calmed down.
But it wasn't their fault. They were all on their way.
Whatever.
And they had that construction thing.
All 10 of them, whatever. No, it's fine. I would have been pissed. You can understand that, yes, people may have an excuse. It doesn't stop you from being annoyed. Sometimes you just need a day to be annoyed, and then we can talk about it later.
So Charlotte tells her that she came to bring her to the coffee shop for her birthday. So the next thing, we see all four of them at the coffee shop, and she's telling them that the longer she sat there, that she hates that it really hit her that she's 35 and alone. She knows she has them and she hates herself for saying it, but it felt really sad not to have a man in her life who cares about her, no special guy to wish her happy birthday, and no goddamn soulmate.
Yep.
I want to say something about this because I know we are supposed to feel sad for her and she does have a right and that is a valid feeling. But all that was screaming in my head was, well, you had that with Aiden, but you went ahead and you cheated on him. So yeah. I couldn't completely get there 100% with her.
Well, he wasn't. I just feel like she was always forcing it with Aiden. But yeah.
Well, I mean, she'd have had a special guy.
Yeah.
Even though she would have said, don't say happy birthday that way.
Yes, I feel you. Now, I don't know, when I first watched this episode, well, I think it was, what, 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know. I was like, oh, I kind of miss watching Sex and the City every week. I'm like, let me just watch the first episode. And I don't know if I was PMSing or what, but I got so in my feelings. It was just like hitting home. I was really like legit like angry on her behalf. I knew exactly how she felt. When you can be perfectly happy like being single, but then sometimes when everything seems to be going wrong or like when you're feeling low, and you do think, oh, it would be nice to have a romantic partner to share this with. Yeah. Or like, I feel like sometimes people don't realize, like, and I can only speak for myself, as I always do. But like when you're single, it's not even like you hate being single, because I'm like fine being single. But there are times where you do wish you had like a romantic partner. And I don't care. I have the best friends. But it also really pisses me off when people are like, oh, your friends are your soulmates, whatever. Yeah, sure. But it's not the same thing. Like, we all know it's not the same thing. I find it really patronizing when people actually try to pretend it's the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you are attracted to the opposite sex, I'm sorry. There's nothing like my friends. And I have very close male and female friends. I love them to pieces. Would do anything for them. But it's not the same at all. You know what I mean? And so I just really felt her. Like, sometimes you do get down in the dumps and you think, oh, this, that. And then sometimes you also snap out of it, like, an hour later. It's very unpredictable.
Yeah.
But it hit home for some reason. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've said this over and over again. There should just be room for people to admit that they're lonely. It shouldn't be a dirty word. And when we say lonely, not friends, family, or whatever, it's a romantic partner.
Exactly.
Because it's just a different thing that's given. It's the same way your romantic partner is not going to give you what your friends give you.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same thing, and that's okay. The second part, or the second note that I wanted to say, was that I get what Carrie is coming from. I think it's a valid feeling, like I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was written by a man just did not sit well by my soul.
Yeah. Like,
this man, time and time again. Something happens. I'm good. I'm fine. He will always Tyler Perry himself and end it with, see, still need a man though.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, I don't know who the writer is, but I do get, sorry guys. I always say I'm not woke anymore. Like, I've turned off my brain, but I can't help it. But I do just get like hints of misogyny. Like, do you hate women the way Miranda's written sometimes, and we just complained about Samantha? And it's almost like you're being punished for not being with a man, not wanting a man, or choosing your career over a man. There's always hints of like you deserve to be punished for it, and sometimes it jumps out a bit clearer than others.
It's been that way since when was it, like season 2 or even 1? Yeah. I was just like, this is ridiculous. But this has just always been a running theme of, you know, especially with Miranda's character. So.
Yep. I'm going to still watch, though. Just turn off the brain. I can't help it.
So Charlotte tells her not to laugh at her, but they could be each other's soulmate and let men be the guys that they have fun with, which is cute. Carrie is going on about being 35. She's like, oh my god, I'm 35. And then Samantha tells her, oh, shut the fuck up, I'm 140. Again, that was funny. Utilize her more in that way, people.
Yes.
So, Miranda gets, because again, what is a punishment trope without Miranda being involved? Miranda gets home to her house. I really like her hair this pilot season premiere.
Yes, she did. I was gonna say her hair, they finally got it right. She looked good.
And then she hears her cat and looks towards the cat, and that was it. Is this like cat lady reference? What?
Yeah, there's some things that didn't make sense. The priest, like, it all just ended. Do you know what I mean?
So weird.
It's just like, okay.
So weird, man. So Carrie walks home in a fabulous coat. And as soon as she gets home, Big's car is sitting out there. And I tell you guys, Carrie had the biggest grin you have ever seen all of the show, and she does that thing where she cocks her hair to the side and she's ready for her guy. She knocks on the window and Big pops out these red balloons and he has champagne and says, "Happy birthday, baby. Get in." I'm like, "Bitch, don't call her baby. When'd you get that back?" Oh, Big got off easy.
I told you, it's timing. She's had a shitty day. She's 35, so obviously, and then here is this man who's gonna pamper you for a couple of hours. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
When you're already feeling shit about yourself and mildly irritated with your friends, you know?
And Nana's like, "Don't forget the friends."
Yes. Don't forget that. I am fuming still. It's her birthday, fam. But yes, sorry.
So Carrie's like, "I can't believe you got out the car and got balloons." I'm like, "You're so dumb. How can you believe Big is going to do that? Like, no way in hell." And of course, Big doesn't take credit. He's like, "I didn't. Raul did." I'm like, "Oh, God." So
at least he was honest.
Good for him and his honesty. So he asked her, "So how old are you?" And she goes, "No, how old are you?" And I thought it was a joke. But guys, I truly believe they don't know how old each other are. Wait, thank is that you. Right?
It makes sense.
Other, whatever. This is too hard. And I'm telling you, this relationship is a sham. Every season, Nana, we're at a point where we ask ourselves, what did these people talk about?
Do you know what? When I saw that scene, I was like, nah, she's going to hear from me about this. You're telling me you went out with this man for damn near 2 years and you do not know how old he is? Are you taking the piss? Like, what is this? So what do you two talk about? Like, how old are you is literally like question number two. Like, I don't understand. What's your name? How old are you? Where do you live?
Who child?
I don't know, man. It's a different world out there. Really?
When we talk about the biggest scams in pop culture, one of the biggest scams is selling us that Big and Carrie were the romantic Romeo and Juliet of that time period.
Yes.
Because
the scales have truly been lifted from my eyes. These two are not goals in any way, shape, or form. Nothing about them. Disgraceful. That's what it is.
So she asks him how he feels about soulmates, and he says, "I like the word soul. I like the word mate. Other than that, you got me." Well, again, no answer, because that's Big. But it's always good enough for Carrie because she's smiling. Yeah. And then he asks her if she had a nice day. And she goes, "I had a fabulous day." Girl?
You did? It's because you've seen him now. That's all it is.
So as we see Big drive away, and as Big's car drove away, Carrie tells us that she realized that with three soulmates down, it made it a lot easier to spot those great nice guys to have fun with. And I prayed to God that she did not mean Big, but again, I should know better. But I want to say that I like the fact that they didn't kiss or anything and they kept it platonic. It was nice.
They're still pretending they're friends. It's cute.
Yeah. Because I think, I'm not a fan of Big or Big and Carrie or whatever, but she deserved, even if it's not the right one, a win for the day. So even though it was after midnight and it made her happy, but it gave her some sort of happiness, and that was good. That was okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like this episode, like Carrie storyline-wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some things where I'm just like, whatever. Because even Charlotte's storyline, I'm just like, okay, like, it was kind of wrapped up and then that was it. Yeah. But yeah, it's good to be back and have them back. And hopefully we get, I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath, but hopefully we get fewer like throwaway storylines. But yeah, I'm definitely happy to see them back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good to have them back. Yeah. And if you guys, again, I know Tane said it at the top of the episode, but if you have any questions, comments, please, please, please reach out to us. And yeah, we have done polls and I feel like we keep getting conflicted advice about whether to continue just recapping and then we'll eventually get to And Just Like That, or if we should recap it in real time, because we've just been going back and forth. We still 100% not sure what to do. So yeah, if you guys can please help us out by reaching out to us. And Tane, can you please tell them again where they can find us?
Yes, gladly. You can find us at The Rewatch Times 2. That is THEREWATCH HHX2. That's our handle on Twitter, handle on Instagram. And if you choose to send us an email, it will be the same thing at gmail.com.
And please don't forget to like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts. We've had more of you join us. Welcome. Thank you so much. And we've had such lovely messages from all of you guys. Please keep them coming. It keeps us going. Because podcasting is hard work. As I'm sure a lot of people don't realize, because I did not realize how hard it is. I still enjoy it, but it's very hard work. But we really, really, really appreciate all of you. Thank you guys so much. And we hope to see you next time. Have a wonderful week. Bye.